ज्ञानचरणभक्त्याज्ञानञ्जनशलाकः चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। Translation. This is a verse spoken by Shukracharya to Bali Maharaj. You have promised to give him, namely Vishnu, precepts of land and charity. But when you give it, he will occupy the three worlds. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Purport. Bali Maharaj might argue that he had promised only three sets of land, but Shukra Acharya, being a very learned Brahmana, immediately understood that this was the plan of Hari, who had falsely appeared there as a Brahmacharya. The words Mudha Bhavakishya Se Katam reveal that Shukra Acharya was a Brahmana of the priestly class. Such priestly Brahmanas are mostly interested in receiving remuneration from their disciples. Therefore, when Shukracharya saw that Bali Maharaj had risked all of his possessions, he understood that this would cause havoc, not only to the king, but also to the family of Shukracharya, who had depended on Maharaj Bali's mercy. This is the difference between a Vaishnava and a smarter Brahmana. The smarter Brahmana is always interested in material profit, whereas a Vaishnava is interested only in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the statement of Shukracharya, it appears that he was in all respects a smarter Brahmana, interested only in personal gain. Shri Kamaya Malalakam Vishvakaya Kamishvati Sarvaswam Vishvadeva Va Murha Vaitishyase Katam. You have promised to give him precepts of land and charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the three worlds. You are a rascal, you do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to God Vishnu, you will have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Today is Vaman Dvadashi, the day in which Lord Vamandev appeared in this universe. Even though it was many millions of years ago, the date is still kept and celebrated. This is one verse from the many verses. It covers many chapters. This section of Bhagavatam is one verse. In the section describing how Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to Lord Vishnu and the consequences thereof. This particular verse, the last two lines, Sarvaswam Vishnu Vedatala Mudha Bhartishyase Katam, was cited by Srila Bhakti Sanskrita Thakur as an example of the materialistic mentality in approaching God. We should approach God to get something, not to give something. And he considered his disciple, Bali Maharaj, a great fool, because he wanted to give everything to God. He was wondering, how are you going to maintain yourself? And he was thinking also, how am I going to maintain myself? If you don't have anything, then I don't have anything. I can bless you and you can get money, but then you have to give something to me, share the load with me. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is a book of Rasa in the very beginning. It is declared. Nigamakavatarakalitam talam shukumakaram yatidabhisangitam tibhidabhagavatam asanavayam muhur horasika bhutabhaka. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. Desire tree means, from the Vedas, you can get anything you want by following the Vedic process. Either really or artificially. That means you can get elevation from heavenly planets, beautiful light, lordship over a kingdom, mystic powers, so many things you can get. Really or artificially, you may consider yourself equal to God, one with God. You can also extract such a process of such a false understanding from the Vedic literature. So everything is a desire tree. But the ripened fruit of that desire tree is full of rasa, which means juice, spiritual juice. So this rasa, Shukadev Goswami, has made it even sweeter by tasting them and redistributing them. Therefore, we are recommended to go on hearing this, right up to the time of death and right up to the time of liberation. Go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, sometimes, some Vaishnavas, they consider that 10th canto, that is considered the best part of the Bhagavatam, in as much as it describes the pastimes of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. But actually, it's not that all the other incarnations are simply all useless. That's a misunderstanding. All the incarnations of Krishna are all Krishna, non-different from Krishna. And all the pastimes of the Supreme Lord with his devotees are full of wonderful rasa, transcendental exchanges, full of ecstasy and bliss. So we find here in this story of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev, as Bali Maharaj himself says to Vamandev, that you, by performing your activities, you execute many things. So in this story there are so many instructions. What is the character of a devotee? What is the detachment of a devotee? What is the attachment, detachment from material things? What is the attachment of a devotee to the Supreme Lord? How a devotee is prepared to take all risks to satisfy Lord Vishnu. How the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, is totally unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. That how he is unlimited. Some exhibition of his unlimited potency is given. How he always favors his devotees, even though it may appear that he's not favoring them. We also see how he's the supreme chief. He's the supreme everything. So if he wants to cheat somebody, he's also the supreme chief. That is shown in this pastime. So there are many wonderful lessons to be got from this story of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev. Most prominent in my mind is, actually this is one of my favorite pastimes, is how Bali Maharaj, he was absolutely fixed in his Krishna consciousness. Now even though Vamandev cheated him, humiliated him, took everything away from him, he remained in his position of humble service. Actually, this story begins, in the sequence of this story, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the appearance of various incarnations of the Lord, because this story begins with the demons and the demigods churning the milk ocean. So, when churning the Supreme Lord, first of all, it was he who gave the order to do them. Then, the Supreme Lord appeared as Kurma incarnation. Then again, he appeared as Mohini Murti. So, and then again, a little later on, as Vamandev. So, the Supreme Lord is appearing in different forms. In this narration, what happened was, and the story is well known, how the demons and the demigods were, although they're naturally opposed to each other, they cooperated, because it was required that they had to cooperate. So, generally the demons don't cooperate with the demigods, and vice versa, and for good reasons too, because demons, actually both the demigods and the demons are interested in material enjoyment. And the demigods are interested in material enjoyment, but with a sense of subservience to the Supreme Lord. Whereas the demons, they're only interested in material enjoyment, and they don't like the Supreme Lord. But anyway, it was required that they cooperate to churn the milk ocean so as to produce the nectar. But when the nectar was produced, as we can see from this picture of Mohini Murti, Lord Vishnu appeared and made sure that the demons didn't get it. So the demons were upset, not surprising, having gone to so much trouble even having died in the process and being scorched by the heat and poisonous fumes coming from the mouth of Vasuki, the snake who was used as the rope for churning the milk ocean, and then they were revived by the Supreme Lord. But he didn't want them to be, to get the nectar. Demons don't get any nectar, only devotees get nectar. So, that you can see. Walk outside and see how demons don't get any nectar. Even they have an imitation nectar. There seems to be a common pastime. Sitting on the steps out here drinking beer, at least yesterday afternoon, they were doing better. That's only a perverted reflection of nectar. That's not nectar. So, Lord Vishnu didn't want them to get it, so he cheated them very nicely. This was his first cheating in this sequence. He cheated. No, even before that, he had advised the demons that you should take the backside of Vasuki. Hold on to the backside. So they thought, well, if he's telling us we should take the front side, which was actually Lord Vishnu's purpose, because the front side is very difficult to hold, with all the poisonous fumes coming from Vasuki's mouth. Anyway, Lord Vishnu cheated the demons. They didn't get any of the nectar, the demigods got it all. Only Rahu got his head touched by some of them. So the demons were very angry, and they had a big fight with the demigods on the shore of the Milk Ocean. But as the demigods, anyway, they're favored by the power of Lord Vishnu, and as the time factor was favoring them, they routed the demons, smashed them. Although, in the battle, Bali Maharaj, at one point, very severely injured Indra and Airavata, his elephant, was smashed unconscious. So at one point, the demons were winning the fight, and Lord Vishnu appeared on the battlefield, on the back of Garuda. There's a picture here, a beautiful picture. I don't think you can see from of Lord Vishnu appearing on the back of Garuda and routing the demons. So, Bali Maharaj at that time told the demons that you better not fight. We're not going to win at this point. No hope. The time factor is not favoring us, so better don't fight now and we'll see what to do later. So this time, Shukracharya, who is the guru of the demons, see, the demons are gurus, they don't have written now. Interesting. So he's the guru of the demons. He revived the demons have been killed. So they were very grateful to him. Bali Maharaj, the king of the demons, was very grateful. It should be remembered that Bali Maharaj, he is the grandson of Prahlada Maharaj. Although he's born in a family of demons, his father was Virochana. He was born in a family of demons, but he's a great devotee. And although he'd been trained up by his father how to rule the demons, he was actually closer to his grandfather, who, although his grandfather had been the king of the demons previously, you know, he was quite old, Prahlad Maharaj, of course he was a great devotee. So Prahlad Maharaj, throughout his life, was surreptitiously teaching whatever demons would listen to him about Krishna consciousness. So he trained up Bali Maharaj, his son, in Krishna consciousness. But Bali Maharaj was executing his worldly duty as the king of the demons. So he became very grateful to Shukracharya, and he followed Shukracharya's advice, and was performing sacrifices, and by performing sacrifices and getting the blessings of Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj became very powerful. So much so that Shukracharya, he said that now the time is right. Now you can again attack the demigods. This is the business of the demons. Demons mean those powerful living beings who live in the lower planetary systems. So, Shukracharya advised Vali Maharaj, now again, you attack. And they did. So much so that Indra, when he saw the forces of Vali Maharaj surrounding the heavenly kingdom in which he lived, he approached Brihaspati and asked what to do. Brihaspati said, what to do? Get out of here. You have no chance to survive in this situation. Because Vali Maharaj has made a point of satisfying the Brahmanas. He's been blessed by them. I mean, Shukracharya and his family members, they're all descendants of Vridhumuni. So, because he's done that, he's become very powerful now. So time is not favoring you. You leave here and we'll see what to do later. So all the demigods, they took different forms, maybe as different animals or whatever. And in this way, got out of the heavenly planets. And Vali Maharaj took over the post of Indra, and having done that, he gradually made his position the ruler of the whole universe. Just like Hiranyakashipu, his great grandfather before him. By force, he took over the heavenly kingdom. Now, Aditi, who was the aunt of the demons and the mother of the demigods, she was upset because all her sons had been kicked out, headed by Indra. They lost their position. So when Kashyap Muni, her husband, came back from performing austerities, he saw that his wife, Aditi, is very upset. So, what to do? What do you want? She wanted to petition the Supreme Lord to give Indra back his position. After all, Indra, my son, is the devotee. So how can we get his position back? So, Keshav Muni told her the Payavrata process of worship. It means living by drinking milk and worshipping the Supreme Lord in various ways. To petition the Supreme Lord that, after all, we are the demigods, we are your faithful servants. Please help us now. So after performing this for only 9 days, the Supreme Lord appeared to Aditi and said, yes, I will appear as your son and help you, which he did. He appeared from her womb on this day. First of all, showed himself in the all-opulent, four-handed Vishnu form. And then, he took the form of a small dwarf, Brahmacharya. On his appearance, all the demigods, all the various crazy demigods in high planetary systems, were very pleased, and they showered flowers on the ashram of Kashyapa Muni, covering it all with flowers. The apsaras, the dancing girls of the heavenly planets, they all danced. The Vali Maharaj immediately, he took the form of a small boy, so immediately all his ceremonies were performed, his birth ceremony, name-giving ceremony presumably was performed. And immediately he was given also the Upanayana, the ceremony of giving him a Brahmin throne. The Sun God himself personally spoke the Gayatri Mantra, which is meant for the worship of the sun. But Vali Shukracharya knew that you can't stay here unless you have some kind of activity. You can't keep the position of, you've taken the post of Indra artificially, but actually the post of Indra is only meant for those who are high and pious. Generally, to take the post of Indra, you have to perform 100 hot sacrifices. So,
Vidukat, straight from the north end of the Nama Varuna, had been selected as a very auspicious place for performing the sacrifices. That is, now that town, or that place, is now known as Bharuch in Gujarat state of India. Kali Maharaj came down from the heavenly summit. Namadev came down from the heavenly summit to where Kali Maharaj was performing the sacrifice. And Namadev appeared, he was walking towards the sacrifice. When he appeared on the horizon, everyone saw a tremendous light in the sky, brighter than the sun.
And gradually they saw in the distance very small Brahmin boy approaching. So they wondered, who is this? Is this the sun god himself personally come to accept the offering which are being offered in the time to him? Has one of the four Kumaras come to bless him? They've never seen or heard of such an imposing person. By those supposing, even so many great Brahmanas in the assembly of Kali Maharaj's sacrifice, their bodily functions were diminished. Generally, a Brahmana or a Brahmachari is supposed because he is physically healthy and spiritually glowing with transcendental bliss. A Brahmachari or a Brahmana is glowing, but Ramandevi glowed so much that he outshone even the sun. I want to speak of that was quite enough. So Bali Maharaj was very happy to receive him. He thought that I'm so fortunate to receive such a Brahmana in his descendants, because the appearance of an elevated Brahmana in one's home or in one's presence is always auspicious. So what to speak of as a sacrifice? One of the most important points of the sacrifice is to give charity profusely to Brahmana. That makes the whole sacrifice very auspicious. By the blessings of the Brahmanas, then the whole sacrifice becomes fruitful. And especially if the Bali Maharaj is thinking, I've got such a powerful, effulgent Brahmana, certainly if I'm able to have the opportunity to give some charity to him, then I'm so much blessed, my sacrifice will be successful. So Bali Maharaj, first of all, bowed down to him, washed his feet, took that water on his head, with his Vedic Vedakrasta. The great personality comes, his feet should be washed in that water, sprinkled on the head of everybody. So Bali Maharaj was expressing gratefulness that you have come to bless my sacrifice. So presumably you have come to get something, because an unknown Brahmana, he comes to a sacrifice where a king is performing a sacrifice, it's understood generally that he wants some dakshina, he wants some charity. So Bali Maharaj said, well, what do you want? I happen to be ruling over the universe, so what do you want? Do you want horses, land? You want a wife, wives, what do you want? So, Vamandev said, yes, I would like something. I would like to take 3 steps of land by my own vision. So, Bali Maharaj said, actually, you're only a small boy. You don't know what your real self-interest is. If you want, I can give you a whole island. Means one of the planetary systems. There's so many different islands. And then these planetary, so I give you a whole planetary system. So you only want 3 steps of land by your own measurement. But our reputation of our family is that anyone who comes to us, they should not have to come again or to go to anyone else for charity. That is our reputation. You take as much as you need, more than you need. so that you'll be satisfied forever. Let me take a little amount of land, what good is that? So Vamadeva says that, no, that's not correct. Brahmana should be satisfied just with what he needs. He shouldn't be greedy to have more. If you want, if a Brahmana wants more and more and more, then his brahminical power will be lost. So better I just take a little, not too much. So he's only a small boy. Three sets of land would be worth this much. So it appears. So, Dali Maharaj says, okay, if you insist, so be it, whatever you like. At this point, Shukracharya came and said, wait a minute. You don't know who this person is. This is Lord Vishnu, your old enemy, the old family enemy. Come to cheat you again. He's always cheating. Just like Hiranyakashipu said about Hiranyaksha, that my brother, he was the greatest fighter in the world, but just one moment he was inattentive, and the Lord Vishnu took advantage and killed him. Otherwise he could have never killed him. So like this, it's your old enemy, Lord Vishnu. You see, he cheated us out of the nectar, and he cheated you by telling you to, tricking you into taking the wrong side of Vasuki. Come to cheat you again. You see, this was today. You're promised to give him three sets of land in charity. When you give it, you will occupy the three worlds. Shukracharya could understand what Lord Vamadeva's intention was. So Shukracharya, being the advisor of Dali Maharaj, went on to give him advice. Actually very good advice. If you are a Buddha, see in this verse, Shukracharya has accused Dali Maharaj, Murha, Vartishya, Katam. You're a fool! How are you going to maintain yourself if you did everything to Lord Vishnu? Because he was thinking, Shukracharya was thinking that the first and foremost activity is to see to your maintenance. Then you can think of other things. This is the most important thing. So he accused, from his perspective, Dali Maharaj, you are a Murha. Actually, Dali Maharaj told Vamadeva, you are a Murha. You're not intelligent, you don't know your self-interest. But now, Shukracharya is telling Dali Maharaj, you are a Murha. You are a fool of the rascal. You don't know your self-interest. But actually, we are to see that even though Shukracharya is a great personality, he is great among the Murhas. Because he doesn't know his real self-interest, which is, as Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu and had been instructed by Maharaj also, Natevidu Swatagatim Hi Vishnu. So the real self-interest, which demoniac people don't know, is to attain to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is your real Swartha self-interest. So, Shukracharya went on to develop his thesis that, you see, you already said you were given, but you should withdraw your promise. Under certain circumstances, to tell a lie under certain circumstances is not simple. If you lie, you see, if you lie to save your kingdom, to save your livelihood, if you lie under different circumstances, In love or war, there are no rules. But if you lie to bring a woman under control, to seduce her, or if you lie in war or politics, in an emergency, and under certain circumstances, Shukracharya was establishing that lying is okay. So under this circumstance, it's better to lie rather than tell the truth. And actually Krishna himself, we find on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he told Arjuna, who had taken a vow, that anyone who tells me to give up my Gandiva go, I will kill him. So it came, circumstance came that Yudhishthira told him that, so Arjuna was ready to kill him. So Krishna told, under the circumstances, better you tell a lie. It's better to tell a lie than kill your brother. Killing your brother is also not very religious. So don't tell your brother, tell him that. So, Bali Maharaj, he deliberated. What to do? My guru is telling me not to fulfill my promise to Lord Vishnu. Now he's so much indebted, because it's only by Shukracharya's mercy that he had attained to this position as the overlord of the universe. All along, Shukracharya had been helping Bali Maharaj. And not only that, but Bali Maharaj is the king of the demons, and it was only with the demons' help that he was able to attain this position. And not only would Bali Maharaj lose his position if he gave everything to Vamana, but all the other demons who were depending on him, they would also be scattered here and there, smashed, defeated. So it wasn't only himself that was involved. He would be actually in dereliction of duty as the king of the demons by giving everything to Lord Vishnu. His family also, what, how would he maintain his family, his citizens, his subjects? What to speak of his prestige? They become most prestigious by conquering with military might the heavenly planets. But now he was, if he was to give everything to Vishnu, cheated in such a way, it would be humiliating that a little boy could come up to him and just out of his sentiment, out of his foolishness, he would give everything to a little boy and just without any fight, without any struggle, simply just in a second give everything away. So he didn't have much time to think about it. He didn't have any warning. He didn't have time to weigh the pros and cons. All of a sudden, Lord Vishnu was there, asking, and Shukracharya was warning, and he had to think what to do. He also knew that to disobey the orders of the guru is very severe, but come to think of it, my guru had been engaging me in the service of Lord Vishnu. Performing yajna means to offer everything to Lord Vishnu. Of course, the yajna, the different demigods, they're also called, but the yajneshwara, the controller of the Yajna Bhuk, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, is Lord Vishnu. So all along he's been engaging in service to Lord Vishnu. And when Lord Vishnu personally comes and asks me for charity, and I promise to give it to him, then how can Shukracharya tell me not to do that? So it appears that although he's a guru, he's not properly acting as a guru. According to the Vedic injunction, it's a severe crime to give up one's guru. But if the guru is not acting properly, then what should be done? Guru api avalipta se kaya kaya majanaha utpanna pratipannasya paritiyago vidhiyate. That guru api, even though one is guru, is worshipped, whose grace all blessings are there, if he's not properly situated, if he doesn't know how to properly instruct, if he was previously following properly but is now fallen into sense gratification, paritiyago vidhiyate, in all respects, he is to be rejected as if given the injunction. So Bali Maharaj considered for some time, and then he said, he replied to Shukracharya, well, even if I do lose everything I'm giving to Lord Vishnu, ultimately, what do I lose? Because when I die, I can't take anything with me anyway. Whatever possessions I have, even if it be the whole universe, I can't keep with me. But if I do live in charity, then I will be famous. But then there will be something tangible in my life. There have been so many emperors and kings who have ruled over great kingdoms. They have come and gone like dust blowing in the wind. But great personalities in the past, like Adichi and Shivi, they gained universal fame, eternal fame, by sacrificing not only their possessions but their very body for the sake of others. So where is the harm in giving away? Furthermore, if I give to Lord Vishnu, that is most glorious. You have to give to anybody. To give charity is glorious. But to give charity to Lord Vishnu, even though he's come in the form of a brahmana to cheat me, I do not want to turn around. There's nothing that the earth cannot bear. The earth bears mountains, huge mountains. The earth bears huge armies, but the earth feels discomfort only upon bearing a lion. The earth is not like a lion. Everything else she, just like a mother, bears the weight, even the child may be heavy. The earth bears without feeling any discomfort. But the earth is very dissatisfied with the lion. So I have decided that I shall certainly give everything to Lord Krishna. And therefore he has a formality. He offered, he poured out water, and then he affirmed his intention to give everything to Lord Krishna. So, as predicted by Shukracharya, he's a powerful brahmin. If you understand what was going on, Vamadeva expanded his body so it became bigger and bigger and bigger, and the whole universe was seen within his body. He filled all the different directions, stretched out his arms, all the different directions around the cup. So in one step, he covered the lower part of the universe, and with the second step, he covered the upper, even beyond the heavenly planets, which was up to the heavenly planets, was the, and down was the domain of Bali Maharaj. But his foot went even beyond the heavenly planets, and above the, right above the planets of the rishis, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Kapaloka, right up to Satyaloka, Lord Brahma. So the foot of Lord Vishnu expanding above and going right up. Lord Brahma worshipped that foot and poured some water to Abhishek, that water became the Ganga water. And again his foot went right up, went through the covering of the universe, and the causal ocean water also came. So those waters merged together, the water of Lord Brahma's Kamandala and the water of the Ganga merged, and they became the Ganga, sacred Ganga, Ganga is Chandana of Lord Vishnu. So in this way, Lord Vishnu covered the whole universe with two steps. Then again he assumed what we might say a more normal size form, or form that we can deal with. And Garuda, understanding the intention of Vamadeva, arrested Bali Maharaj, who was now naked. He was no longer the king of the universe because he had all been taken away. Arrested him with the Nagapasha, snake-like ropes of Varuna. So, in this way, he was, one second he was the king of the universe, ruling over everything, performing sacrifices in all glory and honor. The next second, he was a beggar, reduced to nothing. So, different demigods came, and they prayed, they came to praise Lord Vishnu. Lord Brahma was about to speak, but Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavala, interrupted. Lord Brahma is there, but Vindhyavala interrupted before Brahma could speak and said, actually, my husband, he was thinking everything belongs to him, that he can give in charity. But actually he was wrong, because nothing belongs to him. Everything belongs to you anyway. So in this way, even his wife, she was appealing to Lord Vishnu for mercy. But at the same time, she was pointing out that you should be kind to him, because after all, he was foolishly in the bodily concept of life, thinking everything belongs to him. So, Vamadeva, he challenged Rabbi Maharaj. Actually, you should go to hell for something. You should go down to the world, because you are alive. You see, he took everything away from you, because you are simply alive. You said you could give me in charity 3 sets of land on my own measurement, but you don't have enough to give me. Whatever you had, I covered with 2 sets. You see, what a rascal you are. You promised to give me a brahmana. I came to your sacrifice. You said you'd give whatever I wanted. And you can't even do it. So Vali Maharaj said, I can think of a place. There's one thing left for me. I gave you everything in the universe. But there's one thing more left. That is my head, my body. You please put your lotus foot on my head. And in this way, make me your property also. I will become your bonded slave. So Vali Maharaj, Vamadeva, after telling Vali Maharaj, you'll have to go to the heavenly planets for some time. You should go to hell for having not fulfilled your promise. Then he was very pleased with Vali Maharaj and said that, yes, you go to the lower planets. There's one lower planetary system called Sutala, which is better than the heavenly planet. You go and live there. And, you know, Indra is my brother, and, you know, we have to do something for your family. So, they didn't take the heavenly planets now. You go back to the heavenly, you can become Indra later on, but just for now, you enjoy there in the Sutala planetary system, which is very beautiful planetary system. You be happy there. Don't attack Indra anymore. He's always bothering you. Just leave him, let him rule over the universe. And I will come and live with you. I'm the brother of Indra. And after all, I have to see to the demigod. But actually, I like you very much. So I will come and stay with you. And if anyone gives you any harassment, I will see to them. Any problems? Call me. I'll be the doorkeeper. So no enemies, no one can come in. So in this way, Bali Maharaj gave himself to Lord Vamadeva. Bali, the very word, means sacrifice. It's unlimited. What sacrifice? We are afraid to whatever little possessions we have, whether it's just a few trophies or whatever it is. We are attached. Bali Maharaj possessed the whole universe. In a second, even though he had taken it by great endeavor, in a second he was willing to give it up. He is the personification of Krishna's instruction to give up all varieties of religion, whatever it may be, give up everything and just surrender to me. I will protect you, Krishna. So Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had, plus his own body and his heart and soul, to Vamadeva. And as a result, Vamadeva gave himself to Bali Maharaj. I will be your servant. Yes, you are my servant. I accept your foot, your head under my foot, but I will reciprocally, I like to serve you. So don't keep it. And even Lord Krishna, later on when he came to this planet, he made a point. He used to go to so many places, visiting Hastinapur, Kundina, and Kashi. He also made a point of going down to the planet of Bali Maharaj to visit him. So, he's so much merciful. Bali Maharaj, all the time, just like Prahlad Maharaj, on Prahlad Maharaj's instruction, he was always thinking of Lord Vishnu. But he was in a position, not very favorable situation for executing devotional service. Sometimes we hear that, well, devotees are living at home, and well, my family members are not very favorable. But certainly Bali Maharaj, surrounded by demons like Kala Nemi and Viprachiti and Rahu, all nasty demons who are very envious of the Supreme Lord. So he wasn't at all in a good situation for executing Krishna consciousness. But he always remembered the Supreme Lord. And now he did his duty, his worldly duty, as the king of the demons. He was always thinking how to satisfy Lord Vishnu. So ultimately, Lord Vishnu gave him the opportunity to satisfy him, Lord Vishnu, in a way that, in a superlative way, that no one can imagine. As a king, he is an ambitious king, likes to rule over a country. Pani Maharaj was able to rule everything. So his worldly ambition was fulfilled to an extent that no one can imagine. So Vamadeva gave him the opportunity to give the ultimate surrender, to give up everything you have, the whole universe. You want to give it in charity? Who can give charity? No one can give charity like Father Maharaj. Because he gave everything to Lord Vishnu. Therefore he has become eternally the example of Atmanivedana, giving up one's whole self, giving up everything in one's possession for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. So how much satisfied Lord Vishnu was with him? Actually not even so much satisfied with Indra. Indra got his kingdom, he got it back, but he didn't get the same mercy that Bali Maharaj got. So this whole sequence is how Bali Maharaj is cheated by Vamadeva, how he ties him up, threatens to send him to hell, lies to him, cheats him. It is all, it may appear as something not very nice, just like the gopis were accusing Krishna, that we heard from Purnamasa, who's learned. She told that in previous lives, you see, Bali Maharaj, he was willing to give to you, and you're so greedy, you just took everything he had from him. We know your character. The gopis were accusing Krishna. And this Suparnaka, she's just a nice young lady, and for no reason at all, you cut off her nose. So we know what kind of person you are, Krishna. You're just a big cheat. So it's a fact. Krishna is a big cheat. When it comes to cheating, no one can cheat like Krishna. But that cheating, everything Krishna does, is not a cause of distress, it's not a cause of anxiety. It's a cause of great transcendental bliss and the highest wealth of the His devotees. This is the beautiful pastime that Lord Vamadeva is exhibiting. That devotees, even now, they can remember the extraordinary surrender of Bali Maharaj and the extraordinary mercy upon him given by Lord Vishnu and Vamadeva. Jai Ramanavatar ki jai, Bali Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Can I ask a question? Alright.
I'm very
No, that I said, that took over the universe means from the heavenly planet down. I said that. Because when Lord Vishnu, he took his foot, it went up above the heavenly planet and even beyond that, which is beyond the jurisdiction of Bali Maharaj, from the heavenly planet down. But then the planets of the rishis, I guess the demons weren't much interested in them anyway, because they're only suitable for meditation and austerity. So let those rishis and sages, let them meditate and we'll enjoy on the heavenly planets. So Lord Brahma, he was going on with his meditation. And then going on with his meditation.